Lord, I'm still saved.
I know you're glad for that, but I'm gladder than you are. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness to me. Over the last, since the beginning of the year, we've been doing a lot of messages or teachings on faith. I believe faith is the foundation of everything. We've never seen the Lord that we know of in person, but we believe that he's here.
Yes.
We believe, we trust in him, we believe in him, and so that's based on faith, right? We want to continue in that vein, but we want to take a little bit, go a little bit more in depth. We want us to turn to a scripture that we used last Sunday. 1 John 5, verse 13, we'll start there. You have that. You can read it. 1 John 5, verse 13.
1 John 5, 13.
Yes.
These things have I written unto you.
Yes.
That believe on the name of the Son of God.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God.
That ye may know.
That ye may know.
That ye have,
that ye have eternal life.
And that ye may believe,
that ye may believe
on the name, of the,
on the name of the Son of God.
And this is the confidence
that we have in him,
that if we ask
anything
according to
his will,
he heareth us.
And if we know
that he hear us,
whatsoever we ask,
we
know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Now, first thing that I want to say is, who was he talking to? He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So he's talking to the saints, those individuals that believe on the name of the Son of God. So those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, all right? So that's the first thing that he said. Now, I think that that's a very important point to make, because there are a lot of, there's religions that believe in God, but they don't believe in that Jesus is the Son of God. All right. So it says, I'm talking to you, not just to you that believe in God, but I'm talking to those of you that believe in the name of the Son of God. All right. And he said that you may know that you have eternal life. So the most important thing for us to know is not to have the things that we're getting around on this earth, but for us to know that we have eternal life. This life is going to end, whether we want it to or not. It's going to end, for some of us, it's going to end sooner than what we wanted it to or what we thought it would, right? We talk about, we heard about Kobe Bryant, 41 years old. He's younger than all of us except for one person in this audience here today, right? And his life was cut short. We don't know, but so the point, we don't know when that's going to happen. So what we need to know is that we're ready to meet the Lord when that time's come, that we know that we have eternal life. So that's important for us to know as well, and that they may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, in other words, he said, I want to encourage you to believe in the name of the Son of God. One of the scriptures that we used last Sunday, it talked about in John, the 14th chapter, the 14th verse said, if ye shall ask anything, this is the words of Jesus, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, isn't that a wonderful promise? Doesn't matter what it is. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, listen, these are the promises that are in the Bible, that we, if we can get down to the foundation of trusting and believing in the Lord, we can have anything that we want. Doesn't matter what it is. Now, I know that there are people today preaching all over the nation and probably all over the world talking about health and wealth and all this, and you just have to believe and God will give you the Rolls Royce and the big house and all that kind of thing. That's not what we're talking about, is it? Because that's not what God is concerned about. God is concerned, first of all, that you have eternal life. And then he's concerned about all the things that you need that pertain to this life and godliness. Now, he'll give you all of that, all right? So he says here, now, I want us to take special attention, and if you're going to put a title on this message, it would be, when we ask according to the will of God. So I want to make that plain to us, according to the will of God. That's so we can ask anything. You can ask, but the foundation of that ask must be according to the will of God. So the point that we have to do in order to get the things that we want is we got to find out what the will of God is, right? So it says here, now here's the scripture that says here in the 14th verse, this is the confidence that we have in him. We can have confidence in the Lord, the Son of God, Christ, This confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Amen. Now, he said he hears us if we ask according to the will. So the first point is that what we have to do, we have to ask according to his will. That's the first point. Now, when we ask and we say, Lord, I'm searching my life. I'm searching the things that I'm asking for, the things that I want. Is this according to your will? Now, once we have a clear understanding that that is according to our will, to God's will, not just what we've decided in our own minds that we want. I can decide a whole lot of things that I want the Lord to do for me, but it may not be according to his will. I mean, I want $1 million. I do want $1 million, and I could use $1 million. I can use it wisely, I believe, but it may not be the Lord's will to give it to me. It may be the Lord's will to give it to me a little bit at a time. Just like, you remember the woman that was that had the meal?
Yes.
And she just and every time she went there, it was just enough. The Lord does that for us. None of us are starving. None of us are homeless. Maybe we don't have a whole lot of money. Maybe we don't have everything that we want. But the Lord gives. The Lord provides. So we ask the Lord for $1 million. He said, I'm giving you $1 million. Over your lifetime, I've already given you several $1 million if you really look at it. Right? And so these are things that I don't want to just ask for things that I want. I want to know what God wants in my life. And when I know what God wants in my life, that's what I ask for. And every time I ask it and it's according to the will of the Lord, I know that he hears me. He didn't say, now the first thing he didn't say that you can have it. He said that he hears you. He knows your heart. He knows the very details of your heart, down to the very minutest of details. So, Lord, I'm asking according to your will. And every time I ask that, the Lord hears me. Every time. And then what it says, if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him, whether he's responded to it or not in the way that we feel like he should respond. Sometimes when we ask for things, we want the Lord to respond in a certain way. We have it in our minds how the Lord is going to respond to that particular thing. And the Lord doesn't always respond to us the way that we think he should respond. What we have to do, we learned a little bit about that in our Sunday school lesson today. We've got to trust the Lord. Not lean to our own understanding. Not lean to the way that we think things should be. God has a way of doing things. Our responsibility is to know what the will of the Lord is. All right? So there are some things that we know. It's the Lord's will. We don't have to say, well, I wonder if the Lord wants me to be saved. We know that.
Yes.
All right. Now I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. If you have it, you can read it for us. I want to read a couple. And someone else can get us Galatians 1 and 3. Okay.
2 Peter 3 and 9.
Okay, 2 Peter 3 and 9.
The Lord is not slack.
The Lord is not slack.
Concerning his promise.
As some men count slackness.
But
he is long-suffering to usward.
Not willing
that any should perish.
But that all should come to repentance.
All right, so he says it's not willing that any should perish. So we understand that. All of us know what John 3 and 16 says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the Lord's desire and the whole point of what him sending his Son that we are believing in is for our salvation, right? So he says here that it's not his will that any should perish, but it is his will that all should come to repentance. So we know that if a person prays according to the will of God, we are praying and you're asking according to the will of God for the Lord to save me from my sins and deliver me from my sins, the Lord hears us. And we don't have, did the Lord do the work? If I met the condition, the Lord does the work.
Yeah.
That's the promise that we have, right? So he says here, he will do that for us. All right, let's read Galatians 1, verse 3.
1, 3?
Yes.
You have to
say 1. Oh, sorry.
Grace be to
no,
you.
No, 1 and 3. Yeah, grace be to you.
And peace from God the Father.
And peace from God the Father.
And from our Lord Jesus Christ.
From our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who gave himself for our sins. That he might deliver us.
From this present evil world.
According to the will of God.
And our Father. So in other words, he said Jesus Christ gave himself. So I want to lay down the foundation here. That the whole purpose and point of everything is the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to deliver us from this present evil world. Why? Because that was the will of the Father. It was according to the will of the Father. Now, I want us to understand that it is not necessarily an easy thing for us to give up. And when we were in sin, it wasn't easy to give up our sinful ways, was it? It wasn't. You know what the Lord did? The Lord made it harder and harder for us. That's what he did for me anyway. Made it harder and harder for me. And I thought, you know, it just doesn't make sense for me not to be saved. So I had to give him. Now, I want to put another point here. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. Read that scripture for us. I want to lay the foundation. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. But this is the will of God.
Even our sanctification.
That we should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. In sanctification and honor. So that's good enough. So it says here, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So the first step, and we understand, and this is not the message for this, but we understand that first of all, we give our hearts to the Lord, right? We ask the Lord, we repent of our sins. We ask, Lord, all the sins that I've committed, you know the story, but I'm going to say it anyway. All the sins that I've committed, I want you to forgive me for those, Lord, and I'm asking that you would. And the Lord hears our prayer, and he honors that petition. He forgives us of our sins, but then there's another step, isn't it? There's another step that there's a deeper consecration that I must make for the Lord to have the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord in my life so that enables me to live a righteous and a holy life so that I don't struggle anymore. And do you know why people struggle so much? It's because we haven't yielded to the Spirit of the Lord. All right? So we need, he said, this is the will of God, even our sanctification. So I want to lay that down, that this is the will of God, even our sanctification. So there are two things that we know that God is interested in us having. And the one thing is, the Lord is interested in us. I don't know where my things are. Lord is interested in us being saved and sanctified, right? Salvation and sanctification. All right. The Lord is interested in that. Those are we know very clearly, without a shadow of a doubt, that those are according to the will of God.
Yeah.
Is that established?
Yeah.
All right. Now, once we're saved and sanctified, we have a will. We got one before we get saved and sanctified. We're born with it. You see a little strong-willed child. Did you have children that they had one way that they wanted to do? They wanted some candy, and you wanted them not to have some, and they're just going to have a little fit, right? Going to lay down in the middle of the floor and kick and scream until you give them what they want, right? That's asserting their will. And they're letting you know that there's something completely different than what you want to do. They want to do something completely different than what you want them to do. And so our jobs as parents, is to align their will with ours, right? To make certain that, listen, you're not going to have your way. As long as I'm feeding you, and as long as you're living up under my roof, you're going to do what I say do. Now, I believe every parent feels that way. I don't believe there's a parent that says, okay, well, I had to submit to little Johnny because Johnny just wouldn't behave. You know, they're doing that kind of stuff nowadays. They're doing that. Johnny just won't behave, so I just let him have to do it. Well, Johnny needs to go to work. Johnny needs to go to work and bring some money home if he's going to do what he wants to do, right? If he's not going to do that, then he's not. If he's not going to go and support himself, you know, I read something in my barbershop a few years ago, and he says, teenagers, why don't you just go get out on your own and go and get your own job and do what you, while you still know everything?
Yeah.
So in other words, it's going to come a time that you understand that you don't know everything. That it's not all about you. All right. So we have to understand that it's not all about me. I don't know everything. I don't know everything when it comes to spiritual matters. I don't know everything even about what I'm preaching about today. But I know enough to give you the understanding that you can get the answers from the one that knows everything.
Yeah.
All right? The Lord knows everything, and I know enough to point us in that right direction. All right? So here is the point. I understand that we all have a will. I have one. You have one. And if we start doing a particular thing, then our wills are not necessarily aligned with one another. Right? There may be something that you want to do that I don't want to do, or vice versa. And then we're going to have to address that. We're going to have to adjust to that. And we're going to have to do something that gets us all on the same page, so to speak. Right? Now, in the same way, we have Jesus Christ here, and I use this quite often, that Jesus Christ was saved and sanctified. You can't get no saved or sanctified, more sanctified than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the epitome. He is the prime example, right? But you know, he had a will that was independent. I want you to understand me when I say this. That was separate and independent of the Father. All right? He had a flesh. He was clothed in the flesh. And I want us to turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter. I want to start reading at the 29th verse. And so what I want to establish here is the struggle of our wills is real. And we have to understand that our will is a strong, it's something that's strong. It is so powerful that we have the ability to stop God. All right? God may want to do something in my life, and if I decide in my own way that I don't want him to do it, I can stop him. I have that much power. So what we have to understand is that's what he gave us, a free will. It's free. It's ours. No one can make us do anything that we don't want to do. Really. And they can make us comply. Now, someone can hold I've spoken on this before. Someone can hold a gun to your head and make you to comply with something, but they cannot make you submit to it.
That's right.
All right? Submission is an act of the will. Submission is something in the heart. So they can say, you know, you've heard about the little child that I might be standing up, but I might be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. Something on the inside is still not submitted to whatever that authority is, right? So we have to understand that's what our will is. Our will, we have an authority, and God respects that authority. God doesn't force us to do anything that we don't want to do, in essence. You understand what I'm saying? For the sake of what we're talking about here. All right, God does not force us to do what we don't want to do. All right, read this, please. Matthew 26.
And 29. But I
39.
39.
Yes.
And he went a little farther.
And he went a little farther.
And fell on his face.
And he fell on his face. And he prayed, saying,
O my Father,
if it be possible,
let this cup pass
from me.
Nevertheless,
not as I will,
but as thou wilt.
And he cometh unto the disciples,
and he findeth them asleep,
and he saith unto Peter,
What?
Could ye not watch with me one hour?
Watch and pray
that ye enter not into temptation.
The spirit indeed is willing,
but the flesh is weak.
He went away again
the second time and prayed, saying,
O my Father,
if this cup may not pass away from me,
except I drink it,
thy will be done. So here we have two distinct wills. The will of the Father was he sent Christ down. The whole purpose of Christ coming down to this earth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What did he give him for? He gave him to be crucified at the hands of his creation. All right? So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is all the things that we've been talking about. This is the will of God. God wants you and me, all of us, the whole world, to have eternal life. But do you think the whole world is going to have eternal life? And you know why they won't have eternal life? Because this thing called a free will. You can do what you want to do. Even when it comes to God. Even when God says a particular thing and then he directs us in a certain way, you can say, I don't want to do that. And you don't have to do it. And he's not going to force you to do it. Now, later on, what we'll see is he'll put us in circumstances and situations in our lives that will cause us to have a desire to do this. The reason I'm saved today is because of the circumstances that happened in my life and how I felt about it and all these things. And the reason I wanted to give my heart to the Lord wasn't because everything was going great. It was because everything wasn't going great. But I still could have rejected him and resisted him, but I didn't. I thank the Lord for that. So here is Jesus. He said, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So what he's saying here is my will is I want to submit my will to you. Right now it's not. Right now it's in that neutral zone. There's a neutral zone, shall we say? There's a neutral zone where the Father backs up off of us and lets us make the decision. So here's Christ. Christ understood from the foundation of creation, he understood what mankind faced if he did not go through this. So he didn't say, Lord, Father, don't do something. Don't give them eternal life. He didn't say that. What he said, Lord, if it be possible, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to do this. The flesh indeed is, the spirit is willing, but my spirit is willing for it to happen, but my flesh is weak. There is a battle between the flesh and the spirit, and we need to understand that. We need to understand that there's a real battle between our flesh and between our spirit.
Yes.
And the flesh does not want to do anything. And whichever one we lean to and allow to take control of the situation, that will take control and lead us in a trajectory that will take us off the base from what the Lord wants us to do. We can never lean to the flesh. And this is what Christ was battling with. So we have to understand, if Christ battled with it, chances are we're going to have to battle with it too.
Yes.
Chances are that all of us have a cross. Not chances are, all of us have a cross. And there are going to be some things in our experience that we don't want to go through. There are going to be some things that we can see the pathway. If I continue down this way, it's going to be very difficult for me. And I don't want to do that, Lord. And I have an option not to do it or to do it. I have an option not to go to that cross. If any man would come after me, what did he say? He must deny himself.
Right.
It's not somebody else. It's not what my wife is doing. Even though there are times when I know all of us, a majority of us have been married and whatnot. And there are times that our companions get on our nerves, don't they? I know we love them. And love conquers all and all that kind of thing. But let me tell you, when I say that, that's a two-way street. I get on her nerves, she gets on mine. Right?
Yes.
Let's just be real.
Yes.
Okay. Let's just drop all the pretense and just say, okay. Anybody, I want to see hands of anybody who's a person that's closest to them has not tried them sorely. I want to see your hand. And then I want you to talk to me after church. We can't do that, can we? All of us have had that. Even if you're not married, there are people that are close to you that try you severely. Your children, your friends. My best friend. Only people I ever fought as a child were the people that I loved the most. Never fought with some enemy at school or whatnot. It was my best friend. I had more fights with him than I did with anybody else. Had more fights with my brother than any of the brother. Now, we were a big family, so we had little twin beds. I slept on one end, he slept on the other, and we were hugging each other's feet. That's what poor folks do, y'all. We were hugging each other's feet at night, but then, you know, he hit me or do something, it was on, right? And so these are things that we have to deal with, but you know what? So what? I brought that point up for a reason. I brought it up for a reason. I'll get to that reason shortly. But what I want to say is the struggle is real.
Yes.
And we have a flesh that we have to deal with.
Yes.
And when we lean to the things of the flesh, we go in the wrong direction.
Right.
That's the point that we want to make. We go in the wrong direction when we lean to the flesh. So what we have to do is lean to the spirit. And so this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus has given us the understanding that there is a spirit. He said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have to deal with the spirit of it. Yes, Lord, I want to do this, but it's so difficult for me to do it. And even sometimes after we're saved and after we're sanctified, we have that battle with ourselves that the Lord tells us to do something, and it's difficult for us to be willing to do it. We don't want to do it. Jesus didn't want to do it. So Jesus, the most saved and sanctified, if I can use in that way, most saved and sanctified person that ever walked on the face of the earth, if he had a struggle with his flesh, don't think that you're going to get by without a struggle in your flesh. So what we have to do, what he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what did he say? Every time that he said it, every time he looked for a way out, every time he looked for a window, some way to get out of this thing, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what he wanted. Lord, I want your will to be done in this. According to your will, I'm asking if there's a way for that to happen, then so be it. Let me tell you, every time that the Lord gives you something to go through, the Lord's going to give you the grace to go through it.
Amen.
Every time. I've never been in a situation that was so hard that I just did, that was so hard that the Lord, that I had to fall. There was nothing I could do but go back on the Lord. There's never been a situation like that. It has never faced any person that the Lord has allowed things to happen in their lives so strong that the only option, the only way out was for me to give up the Lord and go back out into sin. That is not what happens, right? What happens is my flesh and my spirit fight one another, and then at some point I yield that will, that free will, that neutral zone. I get out of the neutral zone because I say, you know what? They are not going to do me like this. Have you ever said that? All of us have, haven't we? Oh, I'm saying the second time, but you ain't going to get by with that. We say it to ourselves. Yes. We don't let everybody else know what we're thinking. And then we commence to start doing whatever it takes to let you know there is the line and you're getting very close to stepping on it. Those are realities. And that's our flesh speaking out. But what is the will of God in this situation? Now we ask according to the will of God. Lord, is this what? Do you want these people to walk all over me? Because I don't. Do you want these people to take full advantage of me? Because I don't. And Lord, if they continue to take full advantage of me, how people say, I'm going to lay down my religion. Well, if you lay it down, it wasn't worth very much to begin with, right? You didn't have a good grasp on it. I'm never in a situation where, you better be glad I'm saved. No, I'm glad I'm saved. No. Lord, help us. All of this has something to do with this freedom of my will. And I'm asking I want the will of the Lord to be done in my life according to the will of God. Everything that I do, everything that I must pass muster according to God's will, not my will. I want it one way, but God wants it another way. Which way should I go? What should I do? I should find out what the Lord wants in this particular matter, because that's what's best. You know what the Lord does? The Lord is able to see the end from the beginning. He doesn't just look at all of this. We talked about it in our Sunday school this morning about the Gibeonites and how we can look at all of this and we can make the judgment and we never ask of the Lord. We never inquire of the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? And I'm not going to preach your lesson tomorrow for next Sunday, brother. Appreciated the lesson this morning. All right, so we want to make that very, very clear that we want God's way, not our own way. All right? Now, I want to bring out another point. We want to say that the Lord will not override our will. We have power of will to hinder God's will in our lives if we choose to.
Oh Lord.
We have that kind of a power. The Lord can say, now I know the Lord can tell you to do a particular thing, and there are some people, I've seen people that I know the Lord was calling to the ministry and they backed up and they said, I don't want to do that. Well, he called most of the preachers I know. The Lord, when the Lord called us to the ministry, most of us didn't want to do it. I tell you often that by nature, I'm a shy person. What am I doing standing in front of people every Sunday? And that's the job that I have that the Lord gives me. Well, I could say, well, you know what? I'm so shy that I don't want to be around people. And therefore, I don't want to stand up in front of people. And therefore, my will overrides God's will. Right? So the Lord, but that's not how it works. I've got to do everything I do it according to the will of God. I want God's will to be done in the matter, right? All right, so I want to go and I want us to go to Exodus, the 5th chapter, and I want to begin reading at the first verse. Exodus 5, verse 1.
And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in.
Yes, this is Moses and Aaron talking to Pharaoh.
And told Pharaoh, thus
they told Pharaoh,
thus
saith the Lord, the God of Israel,
let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said,
Who is the Lord?
That I should obey his voice
to let Israel go.
I know not the Lord.
I don't have any relationship. I don't have any relationship with the Lord, the God that you're talking about. And Pharaoh, you have to understand, Pharaoh was used to false gods. And these false gods didn't have any level of power. Well, what they could do, and you can just see he was the man. He was the head honcho, so to speak. And he said, "I will not let them go." So now what we have a clash of wills, don't we? The Lord says, Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh, and they said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." It's not what I'm saying, Pharaoh. He said, "Let my people go, that they may hold the feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh says, in essence, down at the bottom, neither will I let them go. I won't do it. And you know what? I'm not going to go through, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through everything. But the Lord said, okay, I'm not going to force you to do it. But every time you disobey Pharaoh, and if you go down like in the 8th chapter and whatnot, in different chapters maybe, let's go to the 8th chapter, I believe it's the 8th chapter around the first verse, where he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him,
thus saith the Lord,
let my people go, that they may serve me. Now, you know, you understand that the words didn't change. The Lord's will didn't change. The Lord had a specific will then, and he had a specific will now when he's going back to Pharaoh, and he's saying the very same thing that he said again. He didn't adjust his will because Pharaoh rejected it. He doesn't adjust it. He doesn't have to adjust it because he knows what he wants to do. And he knows what his desire is. Now, when he says here that he may serve me, and he says, if you refuse to let them go,
behold, I will smite all their borders with frogs.
Now, I think frogs is probably the third one. I think it was blood, and then it was something else. But anyway, here's the point. So I want to bring out this particular point. And he said, if you refuse, this is what's going to happen. So he gives you basic, clear understanding that you don't have to do it, but if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen. And do you realize that sin, when we are disobedient to God's word and God's way, then we bring the consequences on ourselves? If I refuse, and not only that, I'm not just talking about sin, but I'm talking about us. The majority of us in here are saved, and what we want to do, we want to do God's will ultimately. But when my will comes in the way of God's will, and I don't want to do it, do you know there's consequences to me saying me having delayed obedience with the Lord? When I decide, well, Lord, I'm going to do it, but I ain't going to do it today. I'm going to just kind of sit around and wait and see what everybody else does. When I see what everybody else, do you know that carries consequences with it? And the Lord is saying, when I tell you what to do, I want you to do it right now. I want you to do it when I say it. Now, I'm telling you, that's not always easy, is it?
No, it's not.
But it's necessary for us to do it. It's important for us to do it. Because what happens, we see what happens. We see the blood. We see the lice. We see the water turning to blood in Pharaoh's situation. And because of Pharaoh's disobedience to God, it affected everybody in Egypt. Lord, have mercy on us. We just think, oh, it's all about me. It's just me, and it's nobody's business but me. No, it's more than just your business. It's about everybody else around you. It affected the nation. I mean, do you suppose that what our president does, whoever he is, we're not even talking about Trump. We're talking about the presidency in general. Do you suppose that what the presidency does is going to affect us in some kind of a way?
Yeah.
And they don't even know our names. They don't even know who we are. They don't even know about this little church on 34th Street and North Highlands. They don't know anything about it. But it affects us, doesn't it? If this man gets upset at somebody and he tweets somebody, this is what I'm talking about. If he tweets somebody and then North Korea shoots over a nuclear something or Iran does something foolish, then you know what? It's going to affect us. It affects us when we have to send our boys and our girls over there to protect Afghanistan and Iraq and all those, and some of them don't come back home. It affects us. And so what we say, what would be wonderful if we can get a president or somebody in leadership, those of us that are in leadership should know what the will of God is. We should seek the will of God. I should seek the will of God about the Lord right here in this little place right here. Oh, it's just a few of us here. It's not a whole lot of us. But Lord, what do you have for us? What do you want us to do? What is your will? We're asking it according to your will. I've got all these ideas. And let me tell you, I have never been at a loss for ideas. Those that know me know I haven't. My mind Googles ideas. But you know what? My ideas are my ideas. But God's ideas are his, and I want to know what God's will is, not what mine. And if mine is not according to God's, I want to put mine. I want to make it align with God's will, because when I align my will with God's will, I get whatever I want. Whatever it is that I want, I can get it. But I have to know that this is the Lord's will in this particular matter. And he heard me, because I've been praying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't want it the way I want it. I want it the way you want it. And when you show me the way you want it, I'll do it just like you said. I'll do it when you said. I'll do it how you said. I'll do it just like you said. I'll do everything, Lord. And when you show me that, Lord, I want to be obedient to your will. All right? So here's the situation. So we see that we know the story, and I don't have to say the story about Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the lice and the darkness and all the plagues that came there, and he still, you know, when it gets to a point that his heart got hard. And well, it says in one place that the Lord hardened his heart. But you know, it gets to a point that our heart can get hard. And so what God, it didn't really matter. Now, the Lord is showing, and here's another point the Lord brought to me, that when it comes time that the Lord says, let that person out of sin, the devil, if he holds on to that person, he's going to destroy a portion of his kingdom.
Yes.
And I don't know how, in the in the silent realm, in the invisible realm, he's going to destroy himself. So he has to let him go. He has to let him go. Let my people go. And I want to read. I want to read down and to go to the 12th chapter, and I want to read the 30th verse.
30th?
Yes, 30th. Exodus 12, verse 30.
And Pharaoh rose up in the night.
Pharaoh rose up in the night. This is after the last plague that God gave him plenty of opportunity to make the adjustment and make the change, and he didn't do it. So again, I want to show us the consequences of not submitting ourselves to God's will. Not submitting our will to God's will. And the consequences of not aligning our will with God's will. If you want whatever you want, the Lord just, you know what? You know how they sing the song, the song, we go just where we want to, we do whatever we please. How does it start talking about? They.
I go wherever I want.
I do whatever I please. And that's what I'm doing here today. But it starts out of something on the order that people, it's like they, old fogey, we old fogey.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It's kind of. Oh, yes, that's it. Some think this great salvation will stop all their good times.
Yeah.
They must not do a thing but sing and pray. But what does it say? We go just where we want to, and we do whatever we please. And that's what we're doing here today. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that really how it is? Isn't that really how you feel? That you do just what you really want to do? What happened is the Lord takes that desire to do. I don't want to go to the pool halls. I don't want to go to the juke joints and the discos or whatever they do now, the clubs and whatever they do. I don't want to do that. I'm too old, number one, but I don't want to do it anyway. The Lord takes it out of us, doesn't he? The things that we used to do, we don't do them anymore. Why? Because the Lord takes it out. Isn't that wonderful? He causes us to want to do it. And why? Because our wills align with his. Now I'm doing what I want to do. I go where I want to go. I do whatever I want to do. It just so happened to me that I'm not going to those places. Why? Because I don't want to go to them. And it just also just so happened that God didn't want me to go to them either. All right. Thank the Lord. All right. All right. Rose up early in the night. Rose up in the night.
He and all his servants.
And all the Egyptians.
And there was a great cry in Egypt.
For there was not a house where there was not one dead. And this is where the firstborn died. And the Lord had told Moses and Aaron to go to Pharaoh and tell him that this is what was going to happen. And Pharaoh still didn't do it. All right. And there was not one dead. In every house. There was not a house in Egypt that one was dead. Now, you see how this person in leadership affected everybody.
Yes.
It affected people that they didn't even know.
Yes.
So it affected his family. Yes. It affected Egypt. It affected all around neighbors and neighborhoods and all these kinds of things. May the Lord help him that he had just done what God told him to do in the beginning. It wouldn't have been like that, right?
Yes.
All right, now go a little farther.
29th verse says, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land.
He smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt.
From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne. To the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon.
And all the firstborn cattle. Right.
And Pharaoh rose up in the night.
He rose up in the night. And all of a sudden. And all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt. And there was not a house where there was not one dead.
And he called for Moses.
This is Pharaoh calling for Moses and Aaron by night. Everybody got up and everybody realized what was happening. Can you imagine that you walk out of here? We walk out and this is your house, and you walk out and all of your neighbors are out on the street wailing because somebody's dead in their house. And you call, and he calls it. So now, in the middle of the night, somebody shakes the other, and he's not there. He's gone. And she goes out hollering, and somebody else goes. And can you imagine the mayhem there? All right, read.
He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said,
"Rise up
and
get you forth
from among my
people. Go, just go. Both ye
and the children
of Israel, all of you go.
And go.
And serve the Lord as ye have said." Just what the Lord. Now, those wheels are aligned, right? Now Moses has changed, not Moses, a Pharaoh has changed his mind about what he was going to do. He aligned his will with God's will. God can put situations and circumstances in our, and if he'd have done it at the first plague, he'd have been better off, right? If he'd have done it when they said it, he'd have been better off. If he'd done it at the fifth plague, at the sixth plague, at the seventh and on down, if he'd have done it, he'd have been better off. Then I'm waiting this way, and I want us to get a hold of something else. Read, please.
Also
take your flock and your herds, and ye as ye have said, and be gone. Just go. Now, what did the Lord say? What was the Lord's will initially? Let my people go. Now the Lord respects your will. He respects the authority of Pharaoh. And then what did Pharaoh say at the end? He said,
"And bless me also.
And bless me also. Pray for me. I need the Lord to help me." This is what he said. After he'd done all this stuff, now pray for me also. All right. Consequences of disobedience affects more than just us. It affects our family. It affects our nation. It affects our world. What do you suppose if all the people, in the world were saints? You know, this would be a different place. I believe we could pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, this is just paradise." That you didn't have to worry about somebody stabbing you in the back. You didn't have to worry about somebody stealing. You didn't. Everybody's helping each other. Everybody's loving each other. That'd be a wonderful place. Wouldn't it be heaven on earth? That ain't how it is, though, is it? Why? Because we have a free will. We can do what we want to do. I want to read a couple other scriptures in closing. Someone get Romans 8 and 27. Someone get Romans 12 and 2. And Hebrews 10 and 35.
Romans 8 and 27.
Yes.
Says, "And he that searcheth the heart
knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession
for the saints
according to the will of God." We have to lean on the Spirit of the Lord, don't we? We have to lean on the Spirit of the Lord to lead us in these kinds of things. And he said, "He that searches the heart," the Lord searches our heart, doesn't he? "He knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." There are going to some, I believe, on up in that particular passage of Scripture talks about, "For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So we don't know what to pray for sometimes. So what we have to say, "Lord, I don't know. I don't know what to pray for. I just want your will to be done in this particular situation. In this particular manner, Lord, it doesn't matter what it is. I just want your will to be done." And the Lord, the Spirit said, will set things in order, make intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, because sometimes the weight is so heavy we just don't know what to say. We don't have the words. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Just don't have the words to say, all right? What's the next scripture? Romans 12, verse 2.
"And
be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, we don't want just the permissive will of God that God allows this to happen because we didn't seek him so much, but the Lord allows certain things to happen. We want to know what the perfect will of God is. And in everything that we seek, we want to know what God's will is. So it says here, "Be not conformed to the world." The way for us to do that is not to be conformed to the world. There is this strong move to conform to the things of the world. But we have to resist that, don't we? The world thinks a certain way. The world does things a certain way. And if we're not careful, we'll think like the world. But it says, "Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed." By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. One more scripture. Hebrews 10:35.
Cast not away
your confidence,
which has
great recompense of reward.
For ye have
need of patience.
That
after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I want to read in conjunction with that. The first verse that we read was, "These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's all we have to do. "Lord, what's your will in this matter?" And we're praying that your will be done. Remove hindrances. Remove the devil. Remove what the devil is trying to do. Remove those hindrances. And he says, if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Now, he may not answer us right away. He may take his time. There may not be any sense of direction. I don't know. I've been in situations like that, but I know the Lord heard me. "Lord, I know you heard me. You've given me a witness in my spirit that you heard me, and I believe you're going to grant the petition because I've asked you to align my will with your own." And then in this Hebrews 10 and 35, it says, "Don't cast away your confidence." This is the confidence that we have in him, that if he hears, don't cast that away. "Well, Lord, I know you heard us. I know you heard me." This is the confidence that we have in you. And it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, with that great recompense of reward. It's gonna come to pass, for ye have need of patience." You know that there is no such thing as faith without patience. You can't have faith without patience. So the Lord sometimes waits on things to give us a little. "Lord, give me the patience." And the Lord has had to teach me this. This is one of the scriptures that the Lord gave me in a particular matter that I was years ago that I was praying about, and the Lord gave me this particular scripture. You have need of patience, that after you've done what I told you to do, you're going to get what I told you were going to get. Saints, we can have it. We can have it. All we need to do is, Lord, help me to align my will with yours. Help me to make certain that I'm asking whatever it is that I'm asking for it according to your will. And as long as I'm asking for it according to your will, then you're going to give it to me. I know I have that petition that I've desired of you. Isn't that wonderful? I believe that. Do you believe it? May the Lord help us encourage and encourage our hearts. Pray for me.
Johnson,
yes.
There's two things that God requires. We have